All right, now if we would go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 3, we're going to continue looking at the qualifications of a pastor. We finished off last week with not given to wine in verse 3. First Timothy 3:1, we'll pick up, says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous." We'll stop there because we've read through this several times in the last several weeks. But it says that we're picking up where we left off, looking at the qualifications as they relate to what aspect of the bishop. You all help me. What aspect of the bishop are we looking at? There was three areas I told you that the qualifications deal with. Who can list them for me? What are those three areas? Family? Ministry? Now think of the man. Personal. Those are the three areas. So personal, family, ministry. Okay? So what does this deal with right here? What are we looking at? That he's not given to wine. Does that speak of the minister, the family, or his personal? Personal. Personal. So that's what area we're looking at here, okay? And now we pick up with that. Here in verse 3, it says that he's... because as we're going through this, you may say, wait, he skipped one. No, we'll get to all of them. We're going to get to the ones in Titus as well, because there's some mentioned over there that aren't mentioned here. Okay? But it says he's not given to wine, no striker. All right? So a pastor's not to be a striker. What does that mean? His first response shouldn't be to hit somebody, to strike them. Okay? He shouldn't do that. Rather, what his first response should be is to de-escalate a situation, to bring calm and peace to it. That's what a pastor's first response should be. Now, I'm not saying a pastor could never hit anybody. You're thinking, well, you think it's okay for a pastor to hit people? No, I don't. But if someone's attacking my family, guess what they're going to get? They're going to get struck multiple times. Okay, I'm going to protect my family. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, we are to do that. It's not that he's supposed to be someone that his first response, though, is to go hit somebody. If that's what you are, you are not qualified to be a pastor, okay? You should seek to de-escalate a situation. You know what that means, too? You're going to have to swallow your pride. And no man I know likes doing that. But you're going to have to swallow your pride and just say, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm sorry, you're right. Or whatever the situation is, just de-escalate it. That's what it means you have to do. A preacher, a pastor specifically, should be peaceable, not quarrelsome. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 18. He should be peaceable, not quarrelsome. By the way, this here fits as well with another qualification, not a novice. Because it's usually a young, proud person that is quarrelsome. They're just full of themselves. And they're a novice. And they can't ever be wrong. Now, nobody likes to be wrong. Okay, nobody likes to lose, but we all have to learn how to do those things. That's part of it. And a novice doesn't know yet how to do that. That's why you're not to put a novice into this position. This fits with it as well. But Romans 12:18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." So this is what God expects. If it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So what should a pastor think? If he's not a striker, his first response should be, hey, I want to live peaceable with people. They can maybe even take advantage of me so that I can live peaceably with them. But that's not right. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If you can, if it's just your pride being hurt and that's it, then just get over it and just live peaceably with all men. But they shouldn't be doing that, right? But just live peaceably with all men. Don't be quarrelsome. Now, this being a striker conveys the idea of pounding someone, which really speaks, again, of having one's emotions under control, being sober-minded. I mean, that's what it's talking about, just pounding somebody. And if you're doing that, then you obviously don't have your emotions under control. You're not sober-minded. Your passions rule you. Someone like that whose passions rule them cannot be a pastor. I'm not saying they need to be passionless and have no passion and fire and desire for things. No, absolutely you need that, but you have to have those passions under control. You have to know when to put the brakes on it, when to stop talking, when to shut your mouth, when to back out of a situation. You have to have that. You have to have your emotions under control, okay? Next, we go on back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Filthy means defiled with filth, whether material or moral, nasty, dirty, polluted, foul, impure, obscene. That's what filthy means. I think back to when I was picking up garbage and I'd have to climb back in the back of the trucks when trash would fall behind the blade. Summertime was the worst time because it is, I mean, inside those trucks, it's over 100 degrees and you've got all that filth in there. And I'm telling you, if any of you have ever smelled when people cut their grass in the summer and then you don't pick their trash up till Thursday and they dump it in their trash can on Friday and it's been in there for a whole week, wet grass, it smells like death. I mean, it is, you were just smelling it. I mean, that was one of the worst smells, was cut grass that had been in a trash for a week. Out of everything, you can smell that even in the truck. When you dump it and it's being compacted, you can smell it inside the truck and it's awful. And filthy is getting in the back of one of those garbage trucks and you have to. You can't say, oh no, someone else can do this. No, you have to. To finish your job, you have to get the trash from the wrong side of the blade to the right side of the blade. And you have a shovel and you can do a lot of it with a shovel, but there's a lot of it you cannot do with a shovel. So guess what you have to use? Your hands. Now you have gloves, but still that stuff is wet and nasty and it'll soak through the gloves. But you have to get it, you have to grab it and throw it to the other side. Now if you've got a friend, they'll come help you. And that's a blessing when you have someone help you. Because nobody likes to do that. It's disgusting. It is filthy. That's what, when I think of filthy, that's what I think of. That's beyond filthy. That's disgusting. It's defiled with filth, okay? So, not greedy of filthy lucre. So, it's something that's just defiled, that's nasty, dirty, polluted, foul, it's impure. Now, lucre means gaining money or goods, profit, riches, often in an ill sense. Lucre. Gambling is filthy lucre. Okay? Gambling is filthy lucre. All right? Being greedy of filthy lucre will pervert a preacher's judgment. Okay? How does it do that? He's not going to say what he needs to say. Now, I'm telling you, this is more common than you think in a lot of preachers. Because they won't come off, they're not going to appear like they're greedy. But what it is when they're trying to preserve their position, their status, see, you'll almost never even know it. You'll almost never know that it's happening. Because likely everything they're going to preach is still going to be biblical. But what is the problem always with preaching? It's not what they're preaching, it's what they're not preaching. That's how you know the direction a church is going. A church that formerly had a strong stance, when they begin to pull away from that, the way you see that first is not necessarily in some of the things that they'll say, because they'll still say that, no, we have a strong stand in this, we're separated. But it's what they don't say. They begin to speak in generalities rather than getting specific, because specifics hurt people's feelings. Okay? Specifics hurt people's feelings. So we're not going to get into specifics. And they'll just start speaking general. It's what they're not saying that informs you. So you won't really know that a preacher's going after filthy lucre. He's greedy of filthy lucre because he's still going to look godly, and he may be godly in some areas. But in this, what he's going to do, he's going to preserve his position. He's in his head, he's saying, well, I better not say that because that might offend some people and they'll leave and we have to make this building payment or my family has to eat. Isn't that a legitimate concern every one of us has? My family has to eat. Well, who are we trusting to take care of us? Right. Like me as a preacher, who am I trusting to take care of me? Am I trusting all of you? Or am I trusting God? I'm trusting God, that God will work in His people's hearts to do what they're supposed to do. That's what I'm trusting. I'm trusting God to take care of my needs. So I said, you'll almost never even know that it's happening, that a pastor is greedy of filthy lucre, because he'll still be saying everything that's right. He just won't be saying certain things that are going to offend people, that'll have them leave. He'll trim his message. He said, I better not say that. That might offend this person. And look, for a preacher, there's a time and place for that. There is sometimes you're going to say, I'm not going to say that yet. I'm going to teach. I'm going to build up to this first so people can have the knowledge and understanding before I just come out and say that. So I'm not going to say that right now. There were some things, even thinking about specifics, I was going to say some things right now. And I said, no, I'm not going to, not yet. Why? Because I don't need to put something out there that maybe some people aren't ready for yet. So I just, I'll just back off. Even just in that, as I'm talking to you, this was going through my head, that I was going to say something and I decided not to. So I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about trimming your message so you don't offend somebody so they don't leave. I'm talking about making your statement of faith so generic that you wouldn't ever offend anybody. That anybody that, you know, calls themselves Christian will be okay with it. Oh, and then what they say is, well, they'll come in and then we'll teach them, except you don't ever fully preach all the counsel of God. See, that's what Paul said. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God in Acts chapter 20. He said, I brought it all to you. And that's what a preacher needs to do. So where does him being greedy of filthy lucre show up at? In the things that he preaches, or mostly what he doesn't preach. And it shows up in other more obvious ways as well. I mean, we've all heard of preachers that have completely just ripped off the Lord. They've stolen from the Lord and just done just crooked things. I mean, that's like, you know, a building the church has and they sell it and the preacher pockets the money. That's happened more than once. We're just shutting the church down, preacher pockets all the money. That sounds like greedy of filthy lucre to me. That man's not qualified. Filthy's defiled with filth. So, being greedy of filthy lucre perverts a preacher's judgment. Now, this is interesting. Of the five times filthy lucre is used in the Bible, four of them are warnings to preachers. But the other is a warning to deacons. And you can see the example in the Bible where Philip was a deacon, becomes a preacher. So four out of the five is a warning to preachers. Proverbs 15:27. I said it perverts a preacher's judgment if he's greedy of filthy lucre. Look, here's Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. What's it talking about? Gifts, bribes. So you won't take a bribe, okay? That's what some people think. They, you know, because they come with a lot of money, they think they get to tell you what they can do. And there's a lot of preachers that are bought. There's a lot of them. I mean, I preached about that during our camp meeting. You know, the young man that showed up, the Levite that showed up to, I forget the guy's name. I can't remember it now. To Micah, yeah. He was a hireling. Jesus warned about hirelings. Hey, when the wolf comes, the hireling flees. He's gone when the wolf comes. He's just a hireling. He's just there for pay. Just give me my pay. That's why Brother Woodside asked that question. He was like, you know, if you got paid nothing, he'll ask preachers, if you got paid nothing, would you stay here and be their pastor? Yeah. Because you're not a hireling. A hireling says, oh, I got to have this much, and this much. If I don't get that, I'm not coming. Now, let me back up and say, if a pastor, a man is going to take a church, there's nothing wrong with him asking, how much can you pay me? What am I going to get? Because I need to know if I have to get a job to support my family, what I have to do. There's nothing wrong with knowing how much you're going to be, is going to be coming in to provide for you. What the finances look like. That's not being greedy of filthy lucre. That's being prudent. The prudent man looketh well to his going. I need to have some understanding coming in what I need to do, if I need to work another job or what it is. So there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Proverbs 17:23 says, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment.
pervert the ways of judgment. But look, as I read through all of these two, this just screams to me all the politicians. I mean, they ought to take all the campaign contributions that are given. It should just be really through individuals. And no company should be able to give to that. That is so crooked. That's bribery. And we see it. You know, I saw the picture of the politicians, and it said they should be like NASCAR racers where, you know, they've got patches on them for all the companies that have bought them, so we at least know who they're sold out to. Because that's how all the NASCARs are. They've got, you know, the companies that invest money in them, advertise on them, so they can get that credit. Well, we should do that with our politicians too. Just here's some patches from all the companies, and the bigger, big patches for ones that have given a lot. You know, just put it all across your back so we know who's bought you. See, that's all nonsense. It perverts judgment. The Bible warned about that, but here we go. We just let it go in America. Wonder why our political system's all messed up. Well, that's part of it. Plus, righteousness exalteth a nation, and we promote abominations. Proverbs 29:4. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Overthrows it. So what's happening to America? It's being overthrown. Another topic. Okay. Exodus 23:8. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Blinds the wise, perverts the words of the righteous. And how does it come? It comes, through some nice person that comes up to you and just gives you this wonderful gift. Here, preacher, I just want you to have this. And then, you know, a couple days later, they come up. Hey, you know that thing we were talking about? You know, we really should do this. That's how that works. And, you know, they put your arm around your shoulder. I think this would be a good idea if the church went this direction. You know, and what's a preacher to do? You know, I just look at him and be like, good, I'll take that under advisement. And we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. You know, preachers can't be bought. You can't.
Amen.
You can't. This is why you have to live by faith. This is every Christian. But this is why you have to live by faith. Your faith has to be in the Lord, not the people that are here. You have to trust God. Because if you trust God, then you say, well, I'm not dependent on you to provide for me. And look, it's a real thing that you see that. As I've seen people leave this church, I'm like, oh man, in my flesh, I'm like, that's going to hurt. But here's what I've seen every time. God has always, there's never been one time in my life that God has not taken care of our needs. Amen. This church included. Everything here, every time. He's taken care of it in sometimes miraculous ways. Ways I'm like, well, I didn't see that one coming. But he did it. He did it. God always does. Deuteronomy 16:19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. 1 Samuel 8:3, talking about Eli and his sons. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. Now, what's lucre? That profit, that money, usually in an ill way, correct? I mean, how many of you hear the word lucre and you think that's a good thing? I just hear the word lucre and it's a negative connotation when you hear the word lucre, okay? So they turned aside after lucre and took bribes, and what did they do? Perverted judgment. And those were some of the most vile, wicked men, Eli's sons. They were vile men. All right, 1 Timothy 3, moving on. It says, not given to wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. We need to be patient. Now, this is looking at the personal life, but I'd say this can also go to the family life and ministry life, okay? A lot of these overlap, but this is one especially that does. But really, this speaks of him personally, okay? Now, as we look at this, a patient man, and this is important when it comes to pastoring, to meeting the qualifications of a bishop, a patient man is willing to see things through to the end. You have to be willing to see things through to the end when no one else is. How many times does Paul tell Timothy, you know, to be a good soldier, to not be weary in well-doing? He tells other Christians that. Why? Because you have to be patient. You have to be willing to see things through to the end. It's not like, hey, we're all excited about this. Yeah, let's do this. Let's start a church over there. And then, oh, it's going kind of slow. Let's just back off. Never mind. You can't do that. When the excitement's gone, the pastor has to be patient, meaning he's going to see things through to the end. Nope, we're going to just keep going. Keep moving forward for the Lord. We're not going to stop. We're not going to back down. We're going to keep going. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. See, we get so focused, especially in our society. All of us in this room are prone to this. We live in a microwave society. I mean, we want it like before now. Like I wanted it yesterday. Why isn't it here? Come on, Amazon, it's taking 3 days instead of two to get me my shipment. This is ridiculous. What kind of world is this that we live in? We got to wait 3 days to get something. You know, it's just, it's crazy. But that's the world that we're in. So we have to get beyond that. We have to be willing to see things through to the end and not expect the results we want right now. Like so many of the young people today want what it took their parents 20 years to get. And they want it right now. That's foolishness. See, we need patience going forward. A pastor especially has to have patience. You're going to need patience in helping people. That's why I said this fits all of them. Because you can see people's potential as a pastor. You can see the potential that people have. And you can also see the potential that they're wasting. You're like, man, if they would just get in, God could do so much with them. God could do so much. Amen. But they're hindering him. So what you'll want to do is say, well, forget it then. I'm done with them. You can't. God doesn't do that with us. You've got to be patient. You've got to be willing to see them through to the end. Just go and keep helping them. Just keep helping them. Keep encouraging them. Keep pushing them. Keep challenging them. Be there for them. Go alongside them. Exhort them. Help them. That's what you have to do. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. A preacher has to be willing to see things through in his personal life if he is to help others. The opposite of patient is proud. This will destroy a man from fixing faults in his own life. Okay, you won't fix faults in your own life. You need to be patient. Because we don't know when tribulation will be over, how quickly men will grow, or when Christ will return, we are to show patience. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. So what you're suffering through, preachers, future pastors, you've got to lead by example in the trial. You can't quit and get out in the trial. As hard as it is, you've got to stay there and show patience. Why? Because you are being an example to the flock. See, this is stuff that you have to meet before you're ever a pastor. It's not like, I'll grow into it as a pastor. Yeah, you better keep growing, but you've got to be it before you get there. So it's not like, I've done it for a week, come on. How come you won't ordain me? Well, let's work on patience for one. You have to be it already. So that means right now you need to start living it. Christians, this is for all of us though. Not just for future preachers. Every one of us in here needs all of these. This is good for all of us to live after these qualifications. Except you ladies, the husband of one wife. Okay, not that one. But other than that, we need all of them. First Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. All men. Saved, lost, members of the church, not members of the church. Be patient toward all men. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. See, we don't know when He's coming. So just patient waiting. What does that mean, to be patient and waiting for Christ? It means, well, I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. No. No. Patient waiting means I'm going to keep serving Him. Even though I'm like, Lord, when are you coming back? You should be here already. Nope, I'm just going to keep serving Him. I'm going to be patient and waiting for Christ. All right, 1 Timothy 3. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler. And you know what? I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick up with this next week with what it means to be a brawler. Okay? So let's go ahead.